We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay. I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Kevin here, joined by Pops and Uncle Tony. What's going on, y'all?
Hey, what's going on?
Are we in week eight? Week eight of the NFL season. Yeah. So we're about halfway-ish there. I mean, most teams have played
eight plus eight is 16. There's 17 games. We're close.
Math whiz. Here we go. Speaking of the schedule, let's go ahead and get this out before we get going into some of the games from last week and looking ahead to this week. I'm annoyed with the NFL because this week in week eight, no teams. I believe there are zero teams on a bye, which is great. That's fantastic. Why was there six teams on a bye last week? Why can't we split that up and go, you know, 2-2 or 4-2? Why do we have to have six teams? And of course, I'm griping a little bit because of fantasy football, and me and Pops here own a team together. It didn't really affect us too bad this week, but I'll look around the fantasy football landscape and people are starting God knows who, because everyone's on a bye week or injured. And it's because the NFL, I don't know what we're doing. And then on top of that, I understand, you know, the Jets kind of getting a lot of primetime games because they thought it'd be Aaron Rodgers, the Jets. A lot of people had them as Super Bowl contenders. Why are the Raiders once again on primetime this week? Before the year, we knew what the Raiders were. What do we call Josh McDaniels, Tony? Just a no good coach, or I don't know if we had a nickname for him.
We call him a quarterback killer.
I understand the Jets, and like even the Sunday night game, the Bears and Chargers, that kind of looks like a snoozer this week. But I could maybe understand before the season, you got Justin Fields could be exciting. Justin Herbert. I could see that there's a chance that could have been a fun game. But the Raiders, I don't know. This is the third primetime game I think they've had this year, and I just don't get it. So I just had a gripe with the scheduling, NFL scheduling.
I think it's fair what you're saying. I don't disagree.
Well, okay. So when they set those, a good friend of mine who sells air for a living once told me that, you know,
he's got a lot of air. I can tell you that.
The reason you see that is because of share. And so the Raiders have a lot of market share, and so you're going to see them on TV a lot. It's like the Cowboys. When the Cowboys are bad, they're still on because they get a lot of market share. And so I think that's where the NFL goes when they set those primetime games. That and great, you know, revenge things and stuff like that they try to set up, but it's market share. So yeah. The Raiders have that.
I do just for LJ because he's not here and I know he's still going to edit this. So I wanted to hear this part since I brought up McDaniels. Josh McDaniels did pull another Josh McDaniels special this past week. The Raiders were down 21-3 and he went for it on 4th-and-4 from the 9-yard line. The Raiders got it. Okay, we're being aggressive. Then a few plays later, 4th-and-goal from the 6th, and they decided to kick a field goal there. So Josh McDaniels still, I just don't think. I'm with LJ. If for a Broncos fan or Chiefs fan for that matter, you should root for Josh McDaniels to be there as long as possible. Hopefully, they just re-up him for a decade. Okay,
so you
just
said keep him hanging around. I don't disagree with you, right? Josh McDaniels is not a good head coach. But you said something. It was 4th-and-4 at the 9, and it was 4th-and-goal from the 6. Mm-hmm. And here's, I don't know how Al Michaels did this, but apparently he has found the playbook, the analytic playbook that everybody's using. And so they, and so now it's spread out. You'll hear these announcers start going, well, according to the analytics, it's 3 yards or less you go, or 4 yards or less you go for it in this situation.
There's basically a calculator out there that like says from this yard line, this down in distance, your chance to win percentage is equal or whatever. So, you know,
even though both of those fourth downs were 10 yard line, fourth and four at the 9, statistically a chance to get it than fourth and goal at the 6 because they had longer to get it. That's why he did it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. That. Maybe a little, but it's Josh McDaniels. I just think he's
Josh McDaniels. He's just a goofball. That's why he did it.
Okay, let's get into some of the weeks or some of the games from this past week, and I want to start off with a little game of, is it a better win or a worse loss? And we're just going to run through some games, and you kind of, and as we do it, we'll kind of dive into our thoughts on one or two of the teams from that game. So we don't need to just go quick one word response, but let's start with Sunday Night Football this past week. We had the Eagles beating the Dolphins 31-17. Pops, is that a better win for Philadelphia or kind of a more alarming/worse loss for Miami in your eyes?
I thought it was a better win for Philadelphia. I thought Philadelphia really showed what they had. They slowed down that amazing offense of the Dolphins. And I mean, Philly's got a great defense.
Because really they only scored 10 points because 7 of those were a pick 6 the defense got. So,
I think they really maybe showed the diagram of how to slow those guys down a little bit. And then I was just looking through. I mean, so Philly's got A.J. Brown is
– he just joined something, but for having 5 straight games with 125 yards and a touchdown, I think he joined Jerry Rice – and someone else who's like Megatron, I think.
Calvin, it was Calvin Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, for doing that 5 straight games, it's one of those like, maybe we should start throwing A.J. Brown in that top 3
category
receiver because he's really good.
Very mannish wide receiver. But then they got Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. DeAndre Swift has really shown out. I mean, I thought he always had the talent at Detroit, but for whatever reason, it didn't seem to come out. He's running the ball pretty good, and then they got that defense. So I think that was a better win for Philly, really.
So, all right, Tony, what do you – because if you start looking at Miami's wins and losses, you could poke an argument to say, have they actually beaten anybody? Like, they beat the shit out of the bad teams. They'll hang 70 on a Denver. Sorry, LJ. But they'll beat the bad teams pretty good. But the Bills kind of took them to the woodshed, and the Eagles took them to the woodshed. But where do you stand, Tony? Is that a better win or worse loss from Sunday night's game?
It's a better win for Philly. That was at Philly. And so if they'd have lost, that would have been
Philly coming off a loss to the Jets.
That'd have been a bad loss. But that's a better win. A big win.
It was almost – is that a little bit – if you're the Dolphins, I don't want to just chalk it up to a schedule loss, but Philly's coming back home after a disappointing game against the Jets. You just know they're going to be ready to rock and roll. And they played as about as good a game. And that's why I think I agree with you mostly. Part of me kind of wants to say I'm not sure on the Dolphins. But I really – and Pops, I think, was hitting on this. Philly can just beat you. They have a lot of different ways to beat you. They can. Jalen Hurts throwing to, like Pops just said, all those great receivers. They can slow it down and have one of those 19-play drives where Swift is just gashing you, that offensive line's dominating. Or they can make it ugly and let that front 7 just really dominate the game defensively. And I think the fact that they can win all – like the Dolphins can win one way, and that is just running, gunning, scoring a lot of points, probably getting some turnovers. I feel like Philly can kind of – however the game is going, they've shown we can do that too. So that I think that's, Tony, where I agree with you. I think both of y'all better win than a worse loss.
Yeah, and Liffitt said it. Philly can run a football. Now, they're one of the top rushing teams in the league, and – obviously, if you the best way to beat a great offense is not give them the football,
keep them on the bench.
And they could. We talked earlier this season about they ended a game on a 9-minute drive. That's ridiculous. And so they could definitely run the football. So I think Philly's looking good.
All right, let's go. Same question here: better win or worse loss, Tony? I'll go to you. Ravens beating the Lions 38-6, kind of drubbing the Lions, who we all were ready to talk about being frisky and being one of the better NFC teams. What do you think?
again, I'm going to say better win. I think Baltimore's defense is establishing themselves, and so it's a better win. I think Detroit was kind of got smashed in a, you know, hit in the face, and they didn't, which is surprising for Dan Campbell that is they didn't respond. But a Baltimore's defense again at home was a bigger win than a loss. The defense just came to play, and right now Lamar Jackson is playing at an MVP level the last three ball games. So.
Pops, I'll go to you because I think it was a few weeks ago and they had a hiccup against the Steelers, I think, right after we had kind of really talked big about the Ravens. But that Lamar does look like he's playing at that 2019 MVP Lamar level. And I don't know if any of the receivers are awesome. Zay Flowers is pretty good, but Bateman and Odell Beckham haven't just looked awesome.
No.
But they're decent. And then you still got Mark Andrews and Lamar playing like he did. I think I go with Tony there on better win just because that didn't look like anybody was beaten. If Lamar plays like he did this past Sunday, I think you just got to throw your hands up. I don't know how to stop that guy.
I think, you know, you said something about Detroit being one of the better teams in the NFC, and I think they are. I just unfortunately think there's more better teams in the AFC. Now, the best team – all that San Francisco lost to, I still think they're up there for discussion in Philly, certainly, in the NFC. But otherwise, I just don't think Detroit – I think it was a better win is what I'm getting to. Baltimore looked really good. Lamar Jackson, as you said, Tony, playing on an MVP level. He is the offense there pretty much. And their defense, I didn't see the stats, but it sounds like they did show up. I mean, they showed up against a pretty good offense. So it's close because I think Detroit laid an egg. I wish they had made a little better showing, but still, I would say a better win with Baltimore.
You know, I did also see this. I think Baltimore, since Lamar Jackson's been the starting quarterback, they're either 15-1 or 16-0 against NFC teams. And I kind of think there's something to, if you haven't played Lamar Jackson, it's very, very hard to prepare for him unless you've actually seen it live because you just can't emulate what he does in practice because you could go put a receiver at quarterback and let him run around like that. But Lamar can throw like a lot of these really good quarterbacks, and he can also just when he decides to turn jets on, he's a 4.4, maybe 4.3 speed. So it's tough to stop that guy when things are looking right, and they looked right this past week.
Well, if
the Ravens are up – go ahead, Tone.
That defense had 5 sacks. Baltimore had 5 sacks on Detroit. So that's pretty good.
And Detroit's one of the better offensive lines in football.
Absolutely.
That's kind of Dan Campbell's thing is he's built in it from the line. And that's what I thought Baltimore showed you.
Yeah.
Similar. Well, I still don't trust them on the run game. Supposedly the rumors are swirling right now. And as we record this, there could be a trade at some point. The big name, I think, on the market is it sounds like Tennessee is sellers, our sellers, and could Derrick Henry be on the move? Supposedly the Rams have made a call. The Ravens have made a call. Rumors are there with the Cowboys. I don't know if they've actually called. But you put Derrick Henry on that Baltimore team, and all of a sudden
– it's a little scary.
That gets scary fast because that's the only thing they're lacking. Gus Edwards was better, but the run game still wasn't fantastic, and that's the only thing they're lacking is their run game is a little iffy. But as we've talked about, I think – earlier this year, and it seems like the last 2 years, that running back room cannot stay healthy to save their life in Baltimore. Mm-mm. I don't know what it is.
Well, I know I rarely have ever said anything like this, but that coach that Baltimore has, pretty damn good coach, by the way.
Well,
I've never heard you say that.
There's a Harbaugh in the news recently, and it's not that one. They'd probably rather us talk about John. Let's talk about John Harbaugh because that man can coach some football. Yeah. One thing he can do, he can coach.
He can be my coach anytime. I like him.
So, Tony, real quick on the Lions, are you worried? You're not worried? They're fine?
No. Liv said it. They're a good team in the NFC. I don't think they're the best team in the NFC. They've still got a ways to go. They're still just a little bit young. And, dude, I tell you what though, Jahmyr Gibbs is good. He needs to have the ball a lot more.
as someone who might have a David Montgomery stock, I don't want to see that. But like it's like watching that game, and I know you have a little Jahmyr Gibbs in your hands there, but he looks like the guy we thought he was. They give him the ball, you're like, oh, that guy's really explosive, and he can run between tackles, and he can catch. Like he's just really good at football.
Yeah, I was truly skeptical, but after spending a lot of time watching him Sunday, woo, he can play football.
I think you draw that up as just we just got our ass beat. I mean, it was middle of the second quarter. Yeah. They were so it was 28-0, and now Detroit's completely thrown out the game plan, and now it's tough to win that one. Yeah. And Goff does kind of play bad on the outside. He's not the best outdoor quarterback, and I think down the stretch he plays a lot of indoor games, and obviously Detroit's indoor. So
where they
I think
the Lions will be just fine. The Packers, is that at Green Bay or is it
at Green Bay?
At Green Bay.
No, Minnesota. Yeah. Plays
they
Green
they
Bay
don't
next.
Play.
Oh, is it Minnesota and Green Bay? I thought it was.
Lions got the Raiders on Monday night at Detroit.
Oh, okay.
So they're 8-point favorites against the Raiders on Monday night. I bet they take care of business in that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on. Same question here. Better win or worse loss? The Patriots beating the Bills 29-25. Pops.
Bad loss. That was a bad loss for the Bills. I mean, you know, the Patriots are – there's just no way around. The Patriots looked like the worst team in the league the last several weeks, and they didn't look
they had,
that
the
way.
The Patriots had a span there not that long ago where they lost back-to-back games that combined like 83-3 or 70-3 or something. Like that – say what you – that's just not a good team.
No.
And the Bills want to see themselves as one of, if not the best teams in the NFL. So, yeah, that one's –
bad loss, I think, for the Bills is what I chalked that up.
Tony, could you possibly be making the argument that maybe we were wrong to throw dirt on Bill Belichick's grave too soon? Maybe good win turning the season around?
No, that's a bad loss, man. That's that offense is still broken.
I tried.
But I'll tell you what, Buffalo has got a significant problem on defense. They've had several injuries, and they were season-ending injuries. They're not getting anybody back. They've got to figure something out on defense. And that's what that was. That was a bad loss on the defensive side of the ball. Because we talked about it. Josh Allen, he tries to make the best play every time. And he can't do that all game long against anybody, especially Bill Belichick. They'll have something for you. 25 points ought to win you a ballgame against this. Hell, 13 points ought to win you the ballgame against the New England Patriots. And that was a bad loss.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Mac Jones was even fantastic. Like,
it'd
be one thing if, like, and we can get to this one, but, like, in the Vikings 49ers, Kirk Cousins played maybe one of the best games I've seen him play as a quarterback. We're not saying that about Mac Jones this past week. Like, you shouldn't have.
No. That was a bad loss.
You know what?
That's truly a bad
You know
loss.
What, Tony? And it bothers me more. You can have a blunder, but the Bills had a blunder last Sunday. They got away with it. But they did not. They should have. You would have thought, coming off the very disappointing game against the Giants, where they barely won and just looked kind of like what
you think.
You would think this is like, all right, let's get our shit together. Let's come on, let's play. And it really kind of looks like if they can't get Stephon Diggs going, they seem a little lost on offense at times. And I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record. We talked about the run game and the issues they've had there. And I don't know. I don't know what I'm worried, Tony. Like you're saying. I don't think they're fixing these defensive issues because it's just they're banged up. Unless they go trade for some people, they're just not the same.
Yeah,
defense.
If they want to make a run right now, if they feel like they should make a run now or it's a 2-year wait to go make a long run and reset something, fine. But they've got to go get some defensive guys. And there'll be some defensive guys out there they can go get. The offense is fine. I don't think there's issue with it. And actually, James Cook looked really good again, or back to looking good again this Sunday. And I thought their offensive game plan was good. Gabe Davis didn't see the ball, but Stephon Diggs had a touchdown, and Dalton Kincaid finally showed up, and James Cook had a great day. They can score points, but they just can't defend the ball.
I think they do need to kind of go, okay, Dalton Kincaid is our second best pass catcher. Like that is number two, because Gabe Davis – he is one of those guys, especially in fantasy football. He's good for one or two big catches a game. And so he's very whack-a-mole on whether he's going to have it. He's not going to go
whack-a-mole.
Like –
I like that term, yeah.
He's not going to go like Stephon Diggs where you know he's good for six-plus catches and he's gonna make an impact. Like Gabe Davis is just going to either bust that big one or he's not.
Yeah.
And I think Kincaid can be the guy that drafted him because he looked good this past week. And you're right. Cook, I'm looking at the stats now. Cook was solid. I mean, he had a good day.
Yeah.
But that's a bad loss.
Y'all talked about defense. What's going on with Von Miller? He played six snaps, I think, in the game. Did he? What happened there? I didn't get to see it.
He's an older player coming back from an injury, I think, and they're just really.
Did he get injured again in the game, or why did he only?
I don't believe he got injured again, but I think they're being, and Tony might have more, but I think they're just being very safe with him because,
I mean, a snap they cannot afford. Six snaps.
I think he was.
Well,
yeah, this is how bad the defense was. I think he was there to be a third down passing specialist. And they didn't have New England in third down and long very much. Six times, to be exact, and that's what he
played. And I do think, Pops, the goal is, especially now with some of the injuries they've had with Milano and some of the other guys, Von Miller needs to be there for their playoff run. Like, it has to be there. So you can lose games now, but he has to be ready come to it. So we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, six snaps is – I think Tony's right. I think they were hoping to just use him on some – third and longs and get away with the big W. And they did. One didn't win and two didn't force a whole lot of third downs.
Yeah, I was bad. You know, and you said that their playoff run starts this weekend. And that's the problem that they've got. They're 4-3 and the Dolphins are 5-2 and the Jets are somehow blundered their way to three wins, I think. And their playoff run starts now. Because they can't fall any further behind the Baltimore and Kansas City and expect to get any kind of home field advantage. They're done. So,
and the Bills play Thursday night football. They'll play the Bucks at home. So they're big favorites in that one. Pops, you got to guess the line there. You got Buffalo at home on Thursday night. What do you think it is? Unless you've already looked at it.
Against Tampa Bay?
Yep.
I mean, where is Mayfield playing? What?
He's banged up, but I think he made it sound like he's playing.
Practice today.
I'm going to say it's 8 points.
Nine. Right now I'm saying Buffalo minus nine. Yep. Okay. You would think that's a get-right game because, I mean, Tony, you're right. They don't have a whole lot of games to – they need to win the easy wins because they're going to have some – like they still got Dolphins going and they're going.
Yeah.
They still want to have home field advantage, I think, in the playoffs, and they're getting further and further away from that.
If you live in Buffalo, you might not want home field advantage. You know what I'm saying? It gets pretty cold in January, but
– yeah.
Okay, we've mentioned the game, but let's go better win or worse loss. Vikings beating the 49ers on Monday Night Football, 22-17. Shout out to Mom. I know she was pumped. Kirk Cousins said, you like that. What'd you think, Pops? What'd you think watching that one? Better win or worse loss?
Huge win. That's a better win. I mean, that puts Minnesota back in the discussion. I mean, they do have a good team. They did it without JJ.
They're 3-4, and that – the NFC North, I mean, I do think the Lions are solid, but other than that, I mean, the Bears aren't great. The Packers, I don't think, are great. The Vikings are still in this thing at 3-4.
I agree. So I think
and we were all trying to trade Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Better win by
two or three weeks ago, the whole world was trying to see, like, it's time to blow it up and tank and trade Kirk. And Kirk, I got to give it to him, especially we make fun of primetime Kirk and all this stuff. That was a hell of a game. One by the offensive line, but two, Kirk Cousins just played one of the better games I've seen him play.
Is that where the first series he threw the ball to Addison and the guy took it away, you know, and then later Addison returned the favor with taking it to the house. But when that started, I was watching with Tammy. I was like, that is not good news for the Vikings. You cannot afford to make those kind of mistakes against a team like San Francisco. And, I mean, Kirk Cousins came back from that and played well. I mean, he was throwing the ball with some zip, good timing. Accurate.
Against that defense to play that well without Justin Jefferson is very, very impressive. Very Tony, impressive. What do you think?
Oh, better win, it's a better win.
Because that's now two losses for the 49ers.
Yep, in a row.
How many
back to back?
How many times was Kirk Cousins sacked?
Zero.
Not zero. Zip.
I think I saw, I can't remember, I feel bad for not knowing the guy's name, but the tackle, he's kind of a young tackle for the Vikings. They Pro Football Focus graded out, I think out of 54 snaps, him and Bosa went together. Bosa won one out of the 54.
Crazy.
So big day for him. Crazy. Good game.
Yeah, I just, that's a.
Did the Vikings, did the 49ers just not get up for it, or did the Vikings kind of punch him in the mouth? It was Monday Night Football.
You know, I think the 49ers may not have gotten up for it because the 49ers had a big game week before. You know, they may not have said, you know, traveling. It wasn't all the way across the country, but they traveled up to Minnesota and could have been. But I think Minnesota just had a great game plan. O'Connell just had a great game plan, and it was just a good game, right? I think they ran the ball well. They did everything they needed to do to win that ball game. So Even though Brock Purdy, concussed and all, still had the 49ers down there for an opportunity late, but just didn't happen.
It is tough. So we weren't able to have a podcast last week. But so the last time we were recording, I finally came around and decided, you know what? Brock Purdy is just a good quarterback. This guy's just good. I need to quit doubting him. And then, of course, he loses back-to-back games. He loses to the Browns and P.J. Walker, and then he loses to the Vikings without Justin Jefferson. But it does look like the Twitter doctors have gone back, because now Brock Purdy is in the concussion protocol, likely won't play this week, so it's Sam Darnold time in San Francisco. But they looked at where there was a fourth down and short where he went for it, and a guy kind of comes over the pile and a helmet to helmet connects with Purdy. And so they're kind of identifying that's probably the concussion play. Before that hit, he was 19 for 24, 250 yards and a touchdown. After that play, he was 2 for 6, 20 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So maybe Purdy's fine. I'm going to go with the 49ers are fine. R-E-L-A-X, as Mr. Asshat would say. I think they'll be just fine moving forward. It is a bad loss, but I think it's a better win. Minnesota just kind of nutted up and played a big game.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't call that a bad loss.
Let's see. Did I have another? Okay, that's it for my better win, worst loss category. Now I just want to throw a little. Here's Kevin's power rankings in week 8, and I want you to just y'all let me know who's too high, who's too low. So I'm gonna just give you the top 5. At 5, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who quietly are sitting at 5-2. I think second.
4 in a row, maybe?
4 right? in a row, and I think they're second in the AFC right now. So yeah. I plugged them in at 5 because my boy ETN's playing pretty good right now.
Yes, he is.
I like me some Trevor Lawrence. So then I got at 4, the 49ers. They've dropped down after the last – they probably were 1 2 weeks ago, and now they've dropped down a little bit. But they're still in the top 5. Then at 3 – this team could have been 2, but I put them at 3, the Baltimore Ravens. Then at 2, I got the Eagles. And then quietly sitting at number 1 is, as Prestige Worldwide says, when looking at the AFC West, it's Patrick F. Mahomes. The Chiefs are just a damn good team. They're so good. So where are we at? Any of those you have qualms with, or was there someone I missed out on, or someone higher or lower, or do we like it?
I will say, Kevin, the only team I have Jacksonville I had in my top 5. Online, I saw a guy with CBS Sports, Pete Prisco, that's had them number 4 ahead of San Francisco. I would disagree with that, but I think I would go with actually your lineup. I would say Jacksonville is in the top 5, but I think San Francisco, even with their 2 losses, is still 4. So
you're cool with the Eagles 2 and Ravens 3?
Yeah, I like that. I really do.
I think that's probably like a 2A, 2B kind of thing. I think you could, if someone says they put Ravens 2 over Eagles, I wouldn't say you're dead wrong on that. Tony, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to say that I disagree with Jacksonville. And I'm going to.
Who would you put in head?
Miami.
Okay.
I would put Miami 5 based upon just the power of the offense. And I would actually swing that to where I would have, and I'm going to have an argument for this, Baltimore 1, Kansas City 2, Philly 3, San Francisco 4, Miami 5. And the reason I put Baltimore at the top is I think you can make the argument that AFC North, and we said this a little, AFC North is the best division of football right now. And that showed this weekend. Every one of the teams won. Went out and didn't have easy games to play. Pittsburgh winning, Baltimore winning, Cleveland winning on the road.
Since he was on a bye.
Yeah, since he was on a bye. And so if Cincinnati's your worst team in the division, you're going to be okay.
You're pretty.
Right? So yeah. I think if you're the best team in the best division, that you should be on the top. Because right now I don't think Kansas City can say that with the Chargers tanking and, sorry, LJ Denver and the Raiders. I don't think they could say that. And so that's where I would go. I think it's Baltimore, Kansas City, Philly, San Francisco, Miami.
I mean, I think Kansas City almost has a home field advantage locked up now in their damn conference.
Are they 6-1?
They're 6-1, and yeah. LA Raiders are next at 3-4.
Baltimore's 5-2.
Yeah.
Does Baltimore play Kansas City? For some reason, I want to say they do. I'll check that.
Hold on.
IT on top of that real quick. But anyway, that's where I'd have it. But I like it, except I just thought Travis Etienne has had a great three game run, and I think that's changed the way Jacksonville's been able to play offense.
Baltimore does not play Kansas City, because that would be a fun game. Miami does later.
Yeah. I think Kansas City's going 14-3. If Baltimore, and I think Baltimore could go 14-3 as well, and it's going to be, we'll see how they tie it out.
I'm not saying like the Dolphins are frauds. I just looking at they beat the Chargers, they beat the Patriots, they beat the Broncos, they beat the Giants, they beat the Panthers. None of the Chargers is the best win there, and I don't know for sure how good the Chargers are. And then they played the Eagles and Bills and got beat pretty soundly in both games.
I accept that
would be my only argument, but I like to think McDaniels is a really good coordinator. I mean, obviously you got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Mostert. They're going to get Achane back. Jalen Ramsey will be back. So I could easily see them being right in the top five come the end of the year. But that would be my only argument.
I accept that retort. Can you tell me where Jacksonville games have been against?
We can. Let's see here. And you might have a very good point here as I'm going to search it. Let's see.
Jacksonville's beaten. I know that.
They've beaten the Colts. They beat the Falcons. They beat Buffalo. They beat the Colts again. They beat the Saints. So
they've got two wins again.
And they do have a 20-point loss to the Texans.
I think that's a little stronger than what you just said. The other team, who were we talking? Miami. I mean, that's a little stronger.
Yeah.
But I could see I think you're picking nits there. You could easily. I think you can say Miami's five, Jags six. I totally get that. I do want to throw. Just with the Chiefs and LJ, this will probably be just for 5 minutes. If you just want to take your headphones out and just let it keep playing, we'll try to make sure there's no errors. But you just don't want to hear any of this. Patrick Mahomes went 32 for 42, 424 yards, four touchdowns, and we're not even talking about it. We're so used to Patrick Mahomes being so awesome that we're just like, oh, another day at the office for Mahomes and Kelsey.
So it was so funny because I was watching that game, off and on my new four wide screen YouTube somebody is providing me. And, it was the quietest 400-yard, four-touchdown game I can ever remember because it was so – but I did it, touchdown, touchdown,
There's been more talk about Taylor Swift being at that game than Mahomes just having a masterclass.
It was crazy. And so – He hasn't had one of those big time games, and he did that, and maybe it was because really expecting more out of the Chargers in that game, and yuck, right? And it was just like, I think if that had been a shootout and it had been 31-28, and Mahomes had really had beaten Herbert. I think that you.
But since the Chargers kind of laid an egg in the second half.
That we'd be talking about it more. And Mahomes took it to the next level. But it's like, hey, scored 31, four touchdowns, 400 yards, and beat the shit out of the Chargers. But,
another day at the office.
Another day at the office, yeah.
Mahomes' last three games. Mahomes' last three games, he's gone 32 for 42. 30 for 40, and 31 for 41. That is good for 76% completion percentage, 75.6. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to go over 75% in three straight games with at least 40 attempts. And he's doing this with – they still haven't figured out their – I mean, obviously Kelsey's fantastic.
But
they haven't figured out their receivers. So far this year, Mahomes has the most passes dropped by his receiver, 18. And he's been hurried on a league-high 35 attempts. So, like, he's balling out.
He's good.
And there's been issues on that offense. They're not even clicking yet. So
yeah, they're not running the football well yet. Well, I think one game or two they did.
And just by the way, the defense has held its opponents to 21 or fewer points in every single game this season. They're the only team to do that. And the one team that got to 21 – was the Lions, and they did it with a pick six. So they really only got to 14. So the defense is kind of humming.
The defense is playing real. That's the surprise for Kansas City. I thought their run game would be more dominant and that Mahomes would kind of not regress, but pull back and not have the type of volume that he's had. but it's been odd. The defense is just knocking them out, and they're just using this short game. So here's what I think is scary for the rest of the AFC. And if this happens, I will switch these guys. I've seen a rumor that Marquise Brown is headed to the Chiefs with the Cardinals. Because
I do feel like we get the Chiefs wide receiver trade rumor every year.
Most every week.
But Marquise is a little bit lower. He's in the last year of his rookie contract. So that's a very tradable player. And so if they could get a second round pick for him, something like that, I suspect that Arizona would take it. Even a third round pick, I think they'd take it and they wouldn't have to renegotiate. And then Kansas City could either knock him, put him in a long term, or it's a 1 year thing. And if he goes to that offense, they in Miami will have the two best offenses in the NFL.
Pops, just to have a little crossover here, we're not going to go NBA, but I would think if I'm a receiver, especially a receiver in the last year of my contract, I would look at Mahomes the same way an NBA player probably looks at Jokic. Like, let me go to play with that guy. He's going to make me look fantastic, and I'll go cash a paycheck next year.
I'd be 100%. Mahomes is just – if you get open, Mahomes will get you the ball.
Yeah.
I believe that, yeah. He's a lot like Joker in that respect. Yeah.
And you know who I did not I hate this because I don't have any bit of him in any fantasy football leagues, but I think Rashee Rice is going to be the guy there. I think he's their receiver. Mm-hmm. I think as far as receiver, Kelsey's obviously the guy, don't get me wrong. But I think Rashee Rice is their guy. Him and Mahomes feel like they're kind of making a connection. And I think he's a solid player. They might be on the market for a receiver too.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I was reading something. It was just because Kelsey also ho-hum had like 180 yards, I think, or something. Just fantastic.
It was crazy.
I don't remember if someone's reporting this or if it might have just been like Dan Orlovsky watching the film and saying, like, this is my theory on how they – I don't think Kelsey runs a route. Like, I don't think he ever has a designed route in the play. I think he looks at it very similar to, like, Mahomes. He knows what everyone else is running. And him and Mahomes just do this little, like, I'll just kind of read it. We're just going to read it and see what's open. Because every game, he has a couple plays where he's just like, he found a hole in the middle of the defense. And you know they go into it keeping an eye on him. But I think it's so hard to defend him because I don't think he's running an out or a post. Like, he's just kind of running, just playing like backyard football. Yeah, and I just think him and Mahomes see it so well together that they will have, like, once every 3 or 4 weeks where – Kelsey will dart left and Mahomes thought he was darting right or something, and they'll have a miscommunication. But it doesn't happen often. They seem like they're seeing it pretty well, and they're also maybe the two best players.
Did you see, was it
to play their positions?
Maybe last week, I think it was last week, maybe when we didn't have a pod, but there was the Kelsey runs a little out, or he may have actually gone in and in, and he's got his number shown to Mahomes. And he points to the receiver out in the flats. Like, he points to Mahomes, like, saying, you got to go there. Yeah, go hit him. Yeah. I mean, he's just so smart. He's a heady guy. Kelsey's first ballot.
Well, that's why I think it's so hard to defend him, because he's a mismatch at tight end regardless, mm-hmm. because of his size and speed and hands. But then he also sees it like a quarterback. That's like, I'm not comparing the two because Kelsey's better, but like Jason Witten lost his athleticism halfway through his career, but he was a smart tight end. So his career lasted for 6 more years because he was just going to get 100 catches because he just knew how to read a defense. And I think Kelsey's that same way, except for he runs a 4.4 and he's 6'6 and an awesome athlete. And it's just hard to defend. I don't know how you defend them, really. They're really good together.
Yeah.
And this is not breaking news. I mean, we've known this for 7 years now, or however long Mahomes has been the starting quarterback. Yeah. Let's see. Do we have any other big winners or losers from the past week that we haven't mentioned that you want to? Oh, I have one. Miles Garrett is freaking awesome.
Garrett's good.
When he's on, right?
I don't know how the Colts scored 38 on that defense. Gardner Minshew is slinging that thing, but Miles Garrett accounted for 10 points on his own because he had a sack fumble in the end zone that the Browns fell on. And then that blocked field goal where he just hurdled the center. And if he would have touched the center at all.
Is that what, if you touch the center, it's a penalty, right?
It's a penalty. But since he cleared him, it was fine. And I got to imagine that's the biggest nightmare in the world. If you're a place kicker and you kind of look up for a second and Miles freaking Garrett is unblocked right in front of you, you probably need to change your britches there. And then they asked him after the game, like, well, you know, it's a dangerous play because if you touch the center, that's a penalty. And he goes, well, it's a dangerous play for some people, but for me, it's not. And I was like, touche. You know, if you
can back it up, brother,
smoke him if you got him. And Miles Garrett has got him. He's really good. So that's one of my, we didn't really touch on that game, but I just want to make sure we met. Miles Garrett is freaking awesome. Probably defensive player of the year right now. TJ Watt right behind him. But
yeah, I had two winners for the week.
Okay.
So the first one I kind of mentioned is the AFC North. I think they are a big winner for the week. Like I said, all three of those teams came out and won big ball games when they shouldn't have won. And the Steelers going to L.A. and beating the Rams, it was significant, right, after all the questions. Man,
how do the Steelers have this weird way, Tony, where if you watch a full Steelers game, you're the whole game, you're like, I'm not sure if they're good or not. But Mike Tomlin finds a way, and they end up winning at the end of it. And you're like, well, hell, they're 4-2. Yeah. I think they're – no, the Ravens are atop the division, but Steelers are right there, isn't it?
Hey, Liff, who's the Steelers' best player?
It's T.J. Watt, but might be George Pickens.
I think he's fishing for a Mike Tomlin.
You blew it, man. It's like you're supposed to go, Mike Tomlin's our best player.
Sorry. Well, you said player.
You always said you have this man love for Mike Tomlin, as well as you should.
I do have a little man love. Him and John Harbaugh.
They're really good. Liff was early on the Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh stock, and that stock has only risen. It has not gone anywhere but up since Liff bought in.
Pretty damn good. So the AFC North had a
And, of course, game. Dallas has Mike McCarthy, but let's not talk about that. They're on a bye week. You don't have to worry about that.
So and then my other one, we've already talked about Kirk Cousins and Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison had a coming out party. Welcome to the NFL. Yeah.
How good's he going to be when Justin Jefferson gets back? Now that Kirk realizes, oh, I got a legit receiver.
I think
over
it's
here.
Funny, and Liff mentioned this when that dude took that ball away from him. I really think it pissed him off. And he probably called him take that rookie. And Addison said, "Well, I ain't gonna take that shit. That ain't what we do." And then next thing you know, it's gone. And so coming out party. So
another rookie receiver. Who it wasn't a coming out party because he's been balling all year, but Zay Flowers on the Ravens, he's a problem. He is a problem because they just find ways to get in the ball.
Joystick?
Seems like every game, he shakes someone out of their shoes every game, and he's just a very, very solid slot
That
guy.
Is the best nickname in the NFL right now. Zay Flowers is a joystick.
Pops, do you remember when I think of the human joystick, I think of a specific player, but I wonder if you think of the same guy. It's another one LJ might have to take the headphones out because he has a couple plays against his team.
Michael Vick?
Dante Hall. I think of Dante Hall with his punt returning.
I got another winner, though. That's not the winner I was going to. So
I got a winner, too. That might be a human joystick. But go ahead.
Daryl Henderson. So.
Well, you want to piss some people off? How many people picked up Zach Evans? And
you're
were
looking
like,
at him.
Here we go. He's getting all the carries. And he did, I don't think he got a snap.
I spend my hard-earned money on Zach Evans in a pickup, and he gets zero touches because Daryl
– and Sean McVay's like, actually, we got Daryl Henderson on Thursday. We're just going to plug him in.
Daryl Henderson has to put his gummy bag down, get on a plane, and go play football. It really pisses me off. But what a winner, right? He just made himself millions of dollars in one game. That's crazy.
Because he's probably the active roster for the rest of the
sure
year
is.
Now.
So congratulations, Daryl Henderson, you asshole.
You know, Pops, he said that's a winner, but he sure didn't seem like he was
happy about it, did he?
No, not at all.
The guy who put Zach Evans in his starting lineup. No, I'm not happy about it.
Pops, what you got? You got a winner?
Yeah, I had this last week, and he didn't have quite the game this week as he did last week. But I've got to give a little credit to Bill Simmons. He kind of brought this up. But Tyreek Hill is a freakazoid. And I think one quick little trivia thing, he was averaging, at least as of last week, 19.4 yards per catch. And I thought, could that be a record? And do you know who holds the yards per catch record in the NFL? I don't think you will. I had no idea.
Hayes?
Who?
Bob Hayes?
Nope. Not a bad guess, though.
It's not going to be like, this isn't for a season. This is for someone's career.
This is for career. And I'll tell you, it was 22.3 yards per catch. for a career.
So for a season, I was going to say 07 Randy Moss, but
I think, let me tell you, because I don't think you get it. It's a guy named Joey Homer Galloway. Jones. Homer Jones.
You said, I don't think you're going to get it. You could have said, you're not going to get it.
I think he played a lot for the Giants. He is the guy, by the way, that is credited for having invented the spike TD celebration. He was apparently the first.
When did Homer Jones play?
It was in the 60s or early 70s or something like that. I had it. I was going to do more, but we didn't have a pod last week.
Oh, Homer Jones.
But, yeah, I'm looking at the top. Oh, here we go, actually.
You got it?
You want to hear the top five? You want to hear the top five yards per catch leaders?
Yeah, sure.
You got Homer Jones. Buddy Dial did it from 59 to 66. Harlan Hill did it from 54 to 62. And then at a tie for fifth, you got Flipper Anderson and Paul Warfield.
There's two names
and
I know.
And then coming in at six, averaging the last guy to average 20 yards per catch, Bullet Bob Hayes comes in at six. So not a bad guess, Tom.
But so here's the question. Let's get Tyreek Hill. Where does he stand all-time wide receivers? And so I will tell you, this guy brought up, you've got Jerry Rice. Let's see. Who was it that he named second? Randy
Moss.
Randy Moss.
Just talking receivers. Scariest, you're just talking
scariest wide receivers, scariest, maybe, in history. So Jerry Rice, Randy Moss. And then Simmons put Tyreek Hill next over Megatron.
Really?
I think Megatron, you know, Calvin Johnson's probably right there.
I think
on that
probably
list.
Take
I don't
Megatron.
Know. Tyreek Hill is scary.
Yeah.
He's got good hands.
What about T.O. when it's prime?
And he will run away from you.
T.O.?
T.O. was just a head case, but yes, he was a scary
guy.
But
just on the field when he was playing. I was kind of just now really getting into watching, and of course I'm a Cowboys fan. And when T.O. was on Philadelphia, it felt like he was going to break it for a touchdown every single time they threw it to 81. And I remember him scaring the shit out of me watching him.
I think Tyreek Hill scares a lot of people.
Tyreek Hill is probably missing this week's game. He was questionable today. He did not practice. I think it's back.
Hip.
Mm. So here's the thing about in this.
Him and Mostert both set out.
Here's what I would say.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Calvin Johnson played through a lot of stuff and was still great. If anything happens to Tyreek's legs, anything, I don't think he's the same player. So that's where I would make the difference from a scariest. I will say this. Tyreek Hill, when he has the ball and has not been touched, him and Barry Sanders are the two scariest NFL players I think you could say you've ever seen. Because if Tyreek Hill is sitting in front of you and he's got the ball, you may not touch him. And so Barry Sanders is the same way. And so I to that point, I would say yes. But – I think Calvin, Megatron could catch it over you, push you away, knock you down, and make another 20 yards.
And outrun you.
So, yeah.
Again, I keep going back to as a Cowboy fan, I can remember a game where the Cowboys legit put three people on Megatron, and Stafford still was like, F it, I'm going to throw it to 81, and he caught it over all three of them. I don't know if Tyreek Hill quite has that in his bag, you know.
Tyreek Hill's a damn good wide receiver.
He's awesome. I do. Tony. You right now, you got a team. You got Patrick Mahomes, and I'm telling you, you can have any. Well, I guess that's a little skewed because he's played with Hill. Just in general, you got a team. What receiver are you taking right now as your number one in the NFL? Current NFL receiver.
Just for this year. Oh, I don't want to put anything.
For this year, yeah, it's not fantasy. Like you're trying to win
football games this year. I may say AJ Brown. For this year, right now, there's not a hotter receiver out there, Tyreek Hill included. A.J. Brown can catch any ball. He catches the short one. He catches the mid one. He can catch the long one. Right now, A.J. Brown is probably the toughest receiver to cover in the NFL. Tyreek's got to go short, or he's got to go long. Tyreek can't do the middle.
I would not have said A.J. Brown 8 weeks ago, but it's hard to argue that after what I've seen.
It's hard to argue that. And this guy's injured right now, but – Justin Jefferson, I think deserved. I mean, even on IR, I might take him.
That position is just so good because now we're like, all right, Jamar Chase. I still love Jamar Chase. With Tyreek Hill, as we just talked about, Tyreek Hill. Really good, yeah. Hell, Devontae Adams is still really effing good.
Puka Nacua?
Stephon Diggs is really good.
It is the age of the wide receiver. There's no doubt about it. Yes. There are 20 wide receivers that could go out there and be your wide receiver one on any given team that you could say and you'd have success with them. It's just the age of the wide receiver. But if you're asking me who can do it all, A.J. Brown is looking pretty close.
He's up there. And A.J. Brown, you know, he looked a bit like a diva. I think it was week two. They were on like Thursday Night Football, and he kind of looked like he pouted a little bit and had a little temper tantrum. Well, you know what? All is fine because they started – Jalen Hurts was like, all right, I'm going to throw it to him 10 times a game. And that's worked out very well. So I'm kind of like, you know what, A.J.? You're right. We should have been throwing you the ball more.
So here's something for all those daily fantasy players that are out there. Anytime a wide receiver says something about not getting the ball, they're going to get the ball the next week.
Did you see Devontae Adams?
Yeah, I didn't see what he said.
He complained about his targets in the first drive of this past week. I think he got four targets, four catches, yeah, like 60 yards.
Who said it this week? Michael Pittman. If you're doing DFS out there, you better have Michael Pittman Jr. in your lineup because he said, I guess they don't know I'm out there. I don't know what their game plan
is. So Gardner's about to be like, all right, Pittman, here you go. I'm going to just force
And he was pissed because Downs got all the catches. But watch out for Michael. Because it's happened all the time. I mean, every one of them. Devontae Adams.
Especially when a really good receiver like that. When a good receiver says something like that, the quarterback goes – okay.
Mark Chase.
All right.
Always open.
Fuck it. I'm going to give you the ball. Usually if they're really good and you force feed them, they'll find a way because they want to back themselves up too.
7-11. I'm open. I'm always fucking open.
Always open.
Pardon my speech.
Hey, real good point real quick. Kind of an aside. Do you remember so Tyreek Hill did that. He got a phone and did the backflip right and I think got a penalty on that. Tell me how that's illegal, but the whole damn defense can intercept a ball, run to the opposing team's end zone, and do rowboat shit or whatever they want to do, and that's not a penalty. Give me a break. You can't have both, right? Or let Tyreek Hill celebrate.
Prop.
I don't get that. Huh?
Prop. You can't have an object.
That's the rule.
Because remember when Chad Ochocinco hid the phone in the goalpost.
Was it him or was it another guy?
That was Joe Horn.
It was Joe Horn at New Orleans, wasn't it?
Took the phone up and threw it up.
But Ochocinco also got fined because he had a gold jacket on the sideline and he scored a touchdown, put a gold jacket on, said future Hall of Famer, and then
that all that stuff. And that's when they started saying,
why?
Because it can get out of hand. Because if you think about it, you could have a buddy up in the stands. The next thing you know, you're down there with a TV showing it to you. It can get out of hand. You know, I get that.
I hate the defense running to the end zone doing all that bullshit. Yeah. I think, you know, whatever. Celebrate. Get up and celebrate if you want. And let them spike the ball if they want.
I like it. It's kind of funny. I
got a question for y'all. Okay. We're 7 games in or we're 7 weeks into the season. If you had to guess, how much has the NFL dished out in fines so far this year?
Is this before or after Chris Olave gets fined for going 70 and a 35?
Well, no. That's different because that's just a punishment. These are all on-field fines.
Okay. I'm going to guess $2 million.
No idea. So I'll go with Tony. That seems like a lot. I don't think it's that much. But.
$13 million.
In on-field fines this year?
And on-field fines this year.
You think about it.
Holy cow.
7 weeks, 13 games, 15 games a week, 52 players a team. There's 104 players. $13 million sounds right. All for charity.
Wow. That's from Frank Michael Smith, who covers the NFL. Yeah. He put it on Twitter. So I wasn't even going to bring that up, but when I started talking about it, it's like, I know I saw a tweet about that.
Let me go pull
it.
A lot of money. Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Tells you how much payroll is.
You know, speaking of money, it's been 2 weeks, so the people want to make some money. Let's give them a parlay. We're going to get into a little bit of World Series talk with Uncle Tone here in a second. But first, let's make the people some money. Let's try to cook up a little three-leg parlay to win some stuff.
I got prestige worldwide.
Pops, so we got a four-legger. Perfect. I got that prestige. Just adds, there we go. Although we should be adding LJ on these because we know it. Like, as we scoffed at his Jaguars pick, that man was cash money. I'll go ahead and start, I think. And I'm going to go with – is this dumb? This might be dumb. Nope, I'm going to do it. Eagles minus 6.5 against the Commanders. Sam Howell is on pace to shatter the sack record. And now he's going up against the Eagles team that loves rushing the passer. Give me the Eagles minus – it's on the road in their favor, but I'll take Eagles minus 6.5.
A tough one, but I like it.
Tone, what you got?
I like it.
I think that line's a little more than I want it to be, yeah. But there's another one I was thinking about. I'll say afterward, yeah. But that's what I'm putting in on the parlay. Tone, what you got?
All right, so I have two that I was looking at, and I'm really concerned, but I'm going to go ahead and say this one because I think this is right because I can't imagine this. Minnesota getting a half at Green Bay. Green Bay has shown nothing. And Luke Musgrave is out. Christian Watson is out. I just don't know how Green Bay's.
God, that's a good pick. That's what I should have done.
Green Bay is going to score enough points to beat Minnesota. Now, Minnesota can be kind of Jekyll and Hyde, and they just came off a huge win we just talked about. But it's a half point pick 'em. It's not like they got a minus three. Right now, but,
It's jumping up in between. It's going to pick them to half a point.
Them,
so basically,
you gotta go right. So I'm going to go with the Vikings at Green Bay
in Lambeau. Does that matter to you?
It's
in
not
Lambeau.
With Christian Watson Noon. And Luke Musgrave both out. Musgrave twisted an ankle and doesn't look like he's going to play. Romeo Dubs and the Downs kid, is it Joshua? Jalen? Is it? Oh, Jalen.
Jalen Reed. Jalen Reed.
Downs at in Indianapolis. They're good, but I don't know if they're good enough to keep up with the scoring that I think Minnesota's going to put out there.
That's probably good because for the past 3 weeks, I've gone – like the Packers have been sitting around – because I don't think Vegas knows what to do with them because I think they were so good the first 2 weeks. Jordan Love looked awesome, and then they kind of looked really off. And so I think Vegas is keep going, this Packer team's better. And I'm worried maybe they're just not because Jordan Love – missing a lot. I don't know. There's some issues at Green Bay. I think it's a young quarterback with a young offense around him. You can't have both. You can have a veteran quarterback like Patrick Mahomes with a bunch of young receivers, but you can't have young. And so I'm with you. I think that's a good pick, Tone.
We'll see.
Yeah.
What you got, Pops?
You know, we talked about this team possibly being in the top five, but Pittsburgh is a home dog against Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's been riding high.
Well, we have a rule, Pops.
Mm-hmm.
And we disregarded that rule earlier this year. When Mike Tomlin is a home dog, you just place it. You don't even look. You just place the bet.
Well, I didn't book that because I'm booking it. I think Pittsburgh getting 2.5 points is what I'm showing at home versus Jacksonville.
I miss it there at home. Yeah, give me Tomlin a home dog. I mean, 10 times out of 10 and twice on a Sunday. Yeah, I'll take that one. What's Prestige Worldwide got for us, Tom?
Prestige Worldwide has Miami Dolphins. Minus 9 at home.
Now
it's minus a bunch. 8.5 I'm showing.
Is he worried about the injury news that we got?
I don't think so because I think he's thinking, and like as I do, New England just got their big win of the season going down to Miami, which they have traditionally had trouble doing. And Miami just
even when they've been really good, they've
and
had
Miami
trouble
just
doing
got
that.
Spanked. And so I think there's some – and Mike McDaniel just strikes me as a gentleman who doesn't like to get spanked. That came out wrong. Sorry. Sorry about that. I thought that was a funny joke. I had to go with it. Miami minus 9. I like that because even if Tyreek Hill's not there – apparently, Jalen Waddle can play on half a leg and a third of a back. And so,
bad back, whatever.
He's fine. But Mostert, Wilson should be active this game. With Mostert and Wilson, I think they'll be able to run the football. And as long as Tua is healthy, why not? I agree with that. Miami minus 9. From Prestige Worldwide.
Well, I'm seeing that as plus 1,100 odds if you were to throw that in. So $10 would make 126. So I'm not saying you should. You do gamble responsibly for all you people out there, but just saying. Just throwing
I'm
going
to throw one
there.
More out there to you in case you're feeling what you want to go to 5. And I'm sure this is what LJ would do if he were here. I have found when you have a team, when the NFC South goes on the road to play, you take the other team. And Indianapolis right now is in a pick'em with the New Orleans Saints. The Colts with Gardner Minshew, I think if they can score 38 on Cleveland, they can certainly outscore the New Orleans Saints defense, New Orleans Saints. So the Colts minus a half or a pick would be a pretty good, I think that'd be a pretty good game.
Hey, just since you said New Orleans, did you see Kamara had 17 rushes and 12 receptions? He touched the ball 29 times in that game. Hey, you probably should, but wow, I was impressed.
For PPR league, it looks pretty nice, doesn't it, Pops?
Yeah, it does.
You asshole. Yes, it does. So, okay, he has, 25 catches in two games?
Something, yeah, 30, he had 13.
He didn't go over 100 yards receiving in this game.
No, 12 for 91, okay. Receiving 17 for 62 rushing.
Okay, so I was going to say, he may have become the first player ever to have 25 receptions and under 100 yards receiving. But I guess he was just a little over. But, dude, that's crazy.
They're just dumping it out to him over and over and over and over again.
That's crazy.
And, you know, by the way, Foster Moreau dropped. If you saw the end of that game, he dropped a sure touchdown.
Yeah,
and they were down
I'm
by
not
seven.
Sure.
You know, I don't
I'm
know
not sure about Derek Carr, and I think probably I lean on he's not a great starter, but that was a catch. He threw the right ball.
That was a good,
good throw. Yeah. Should have caught it. And that Moreau, you could tell, they showed him at one point. He knew, like, that's just on me.
I don't dislike the guy, but that was on him. Yeah. He had to catch that.
Yep. Yeah.
Remind me of Jackie Smith in the Cowboys way back. You remember that?
That hurt.
Tony, there has been a little trend in football, it seems like, where the team that we're all, like, real high on from the week before lays an egg. We saw it with the Cowboys when they laid the egg to the Cardinals. We saw it when the Dolphins scored 70, laid an egg against the Bills. We could go through the schedule, and every single week seems like the team that we're real high on lays an egg the next week. The Ravens go to Arizona, and they're 8.5-point favorites. I'm just saying, Kyler Murray was also a full participant in practice
today. Yeah, I know.
So,
which is why I got to get off this podcast so I can go put in a waiver claim. But
he's not available in the league that we're all in. I can just tell you that.
I'm looking for a quarterback, Tony. You might be careful.
Yeah, no, it's not that league. No, not that either. I think that I'd be careful, right?
I just would tread lightly if you're all on the Ravens.
Well, the Ravens are really good.
They do. They do. I would just say, as someone who's done this and got bitten by it, if you're going to throw in a bunch of different little teasers and parlays, and don't let the Ravens money line be your anchor in every single one of them, because there's a chance.
I would agree with that.
There's a chance that something happens.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah.
All right. That wraps up some NFL talk. I do want to touch on, because we're recording this on Wednesday, the World Series kicks off, or I guess not kicks off, but it'll go on Friday, I believe, is the first game. The Rangers, the Texas Rangers, are playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. Probably not who you thought would be in the World Series 6 weeks ago, but here we are. Tony, I'm hearing some people are like, oh, this is boring. No one's going to watch these games. So funny enough, I am a Ranger fan, but I don't really watch regular season baseball that much. But around All-Star break, the Rangers were looking great. I was like, you know what? I'm about to get it and start following the Rangers. And then they fell off a cliff and lost like 15 of 20 games. And I was like, so I just am the kiss of death. Like, the teams I root for just suck. It's just what my life is. But here we are. Now they've made the World Series. And I feel like they make it two different ways. I don't know. The Rangers pitching is kind of suspect, but they just Adolis Garcia and that lineup, and they hit a bunch of home runs. And then the Diamondbacks to me are the opposite from what I've seen in the playoffs is, they just play smart, smart baseball. Good base running, good pitching. Yeah. What do you think? What is your thoughts about the MLB playoffs and then
World Series? I really think, and I've been watching a little baseball more this year than I normally do, this should be a really fun World Series to watch. If you're not a normal MLB fan, watch a couple of games and see if it pans out, because you couldn't have more two different teams than you've got here. And they're both wild card teams, which means that they've had to scrap and claw and to make their way here. The Diamondbacks have done it through their bullpen. And so they don't have a big pitcher or three big starters. They've got a fantastic bullpen, very similar to the way the Rays did it a few years ago. And now, the Rangers are just bullies. I mean, they could score 10 runs without blinking an eye. And then again, they may score one. So it's going to be a really fun series. I'd encourage anyone to go out there and watch it. If you've never watched baseball fast this year, the games are going 2.5 to 3 hours. They're really fast. They're interesting.
I love the pitch count, Tony.
It's great. It's
great. Love it.
And you couldn't have two more different styles of baseball coming at you. The Diamondbacks can score, but they don't score with the long ball. The Rangers are going to crush some baseballs. It'll be very interesting to see if the Diamondbacks, who have made their living with matchups out of their bullpen, if they can match up against some of these big Texas hitters. It's going to be fun. It should be a fun series to watch.
I tell you that, and it would have been better if I'd have been on the winning side of it, but that Game 5, Rangers-Astros, where Adolis Garcia hits a big home run and then Altuve hits a huge one in the top of the ninth. As far as just enjoyable baseball games to watch, that might have been one of, if not the most, like it was just the pitch count makes it to where it never felt like it was slow, and both teams had clutch hits. I mean, that was a really, really fun baseball game, and I'm all in for the World Series. I think it's going to be fun. And the Diamondbacks are fun to watch. Yeah. Obviously, the Rangers I'm fun to watch because I root for them.
It should be really fun. It's not like what everybody was expecting to have the Braves versus the Orioles or the Braves versus the Astros in this, you know, these star-studded big pitcher games. This should be fun baseball. And the last thing, Altuve may be the best playoff.
Is he as good a playoff hitter as there is?
He may be the best ever. He's close to having the most. I think it'd be interesting to look at his stats versus Derek Jeter to see who truly is the better playoff hitter. Jeter was a phenomenal playoff hitter, but Altuve just seems to, he's just great. He hit that home run and he just trotted around the base like, it's just another home run, fellas. Let's go. And the last shout out here, I know this, Dusty Baker announced his retirement today.
I like Dusty.
And he is one of the class acts in baseball. And it's not because I've met him. He came to our junior deputy ballpark 1 year, and I've got a baseball sign by Dusty Baker, and he was a good friend of and if you've ever heard of the guy Dusty Hannes, who played for the Razorbacks, he's named after Dusty Baker. Gerald Hannes and Dusty were college roommates, and so he's named after him. So there's a Little Rock connection there. But Dusty's a class act. Hanging him up, great, great baseball guy. So, wish him the best.
I do want to, Pops brought this up before we start recording, and I kind of want to get, if you can just explain it to me like I'm a fifth grader and like the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
So, one, it was just interesting. I don't know what the odds would have been. Both the Rangers and Diamondbacks went on the road down 3-2 and had to win two straight games on the road and were able to do it. The Diamondbacks had to do it in the bank in Philadelphia, which is seemed like all playoffs, just a death sentence. You're not winning there. And like Pops was saying, a week ago, that Phillies lineup looked they just were hitting bombs left and right. I mean, it was everybody. And then you go in the games 6 and 7, Castellanos, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper combined to go 0-23. Is that just going cold at the wrong time or Diamondbacks? Can you explain that at all? Or is it just kind of that's how baseball goes?
I don't know the direct statistics, but I think the Diamondbacks.
Because those guys were hot.
The Diamondbacks, I know they threw six pitchers last night. I think it was six. And I think they
– Ginkle or whoever, that dude deal.
7 or 8 the night before. I think they pushed the whole bullpen out the last two games. And so they took the matchups, right? And so that's part of it. But 0-23 in baseball of all sports is truly statistic-driven. And to go 0-23 is just the wrong time to hit a cold streak. Because if you played another 7 games, those three guys would probably be 15-23. And so,
well, that's the series before. I think all three of them had separate games where they had two home run games. Like, those guys were as good as they've played all year, and then they just went cold at a very, very bad time.
No, the Diamondbacks play a different kind of baseball. And so what they do is it doesn't matter. Yeah, this guy's only pitched two-thirds of an inning, but we're done because this guy matches up better against Trey Turner. And they'll make that switch because they've got a deep enough bullpen. They manage to that. They play that way. And so that's where – because you could have guys – if you're a lefty and a lefty submariner comes in and you're 1-for-30 against submariners because you just can't hit that, guess what you're going to see? Submarines. So, and they played it that way and did a good job of it. You can win by it. You can lose by it. Just look at the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays tried to do that and lost. Took their best starter out because of a matchup and ended up – the guy scored 2-3 runs against them and they lost to the Twins. So it'll bite you, but it worked well for the D-backs, and that's how they won the last half of the season.
There we go. I just know watching it, I thought – I was with Pops. I thought – because I have a friend at work who's a Diamondbacks fan, and even me and him were talking. It's like, yeah, I'm rooting for him, but – This Phillies team looks unbeatable. I mean, they were mashing.
Yeah, I mean, they came in hot.
I thought it was going to be Houston and Philly. I thought that was what the World Series was. Yeah,
they were hot. I want to feel bad for Bryce Harper, but I don't. You know, I he has said some things, done some things, and at 15 years old, there's YouTube videos of him. I'm not feeling bad for Bryce Harper.
He'll
Trey
be
Turner,
all right.
I kind of feel he'll be okay. Trey Turner is a really good ball player, but streaky. He's just a streaky hitter. So,
all right. I think that Pops, I knew we weren't going to get too far into it, but I know you mentioned it before we started. Just ho-hum, your boy Nikola Jokic just dropped another 30-point triple-double on
open. He started out with a triple-double against the team they swept in the playoffs last year. Yeah, that seemed to have extra motivation to beat them. They acted like that. You know, so here was the story I heard is that – so – Denver probably was a little irritated because they sweep the Lakers, and then LeBron's talking about he's going to retire, which takes
when he knew he wasn't retiring.
When he knew he wasn't going to retire. And so then somebody kind of tells Malone's their daddy or whatever, and I can't remember. I saw that at one of the press conferences, maybe at their parade, whatever. But so they had extra motivation. I think AD said we have extra motivation.
AD during their spring training said, yeah, we've heard what they said. We get a little extra motivation. It's like, okay.
Well, they need to find some more motivation, I guess, because Joker is just the shit. I know it stink up in Denver because he is the poo-poo. He's good.
You ain't wrong. I knew we weren't going to have a big NBA talk, but yeah, Jokic just did it again where it's just like, he just wakes up and drops 30, 10, and 10, and he just plays basketball the right way. We say it all the time.
Hey, Jokic, in another 5 years, Jokic will he will be the world's best pickleball player because the dude, even though he doesn't move within like a 10-foot circle,
right?
He just
his game is not based on athleticism.
No, he's got these big old arms. He just throws the ball.
It's just awesome.
It's awesome, but dude, man, it's crazy. He's fun to watch, but it's just. Stupid.
Fun to watch. I agree.
All right. I think that wraps us up for this week, JPP Pod. Tony, I see you. I think you might have had a refill.
I might have.
At one point during the podcast. What are we drinking on? What's Uncle Tony drinking
Uncle
on?
Tony is drinking. So this week, we didn't get to pod last week because we were on a lot of us were on the road or had issues. And so I was on the road and I got to go to Springfield, Missouri. And I got to one of my favorite places ever. Springfield Brewing Company. And over the years that I haven't been able to be there since I didn't have a prodigy playing baseball there, they started distilling and they formed a distillery called Te Ya Ki Da. It's Irish and Te Ya Ki Da. And it's not spelled anyway the way it sounds, but they do bourbon, rye, and they do it in multiple different ways, brewed in Springfield, Missouri. This is Te Ya Ki Da's Wanderlust bourbon, finished in Oloroso sherry barrels. It is a really tasty bourbon. I think it's a testament to there's a lot of good bourbon whiskeys out there right now. This is a good one. Smooth, got a lot of flavor to it. You wouldn't think Springfield, Missouri would produce a good bourbon, but this is one of them. And when I saw the label and the name of it, I thought a lift, Wanderlust. you know, this is the, it says, and just to give you the quote. So this is how I thought, why I thought of Lyft. A wise storyteller once said, not all who wander are lost. And so I thought of Lyft on that. So Wanderlust Bourbon from Springfield, Missouri. It's a phenomenal bourbon. Really like it.
Just, Tony, I think maybe the word you might have been looking for was progeny, not prodigy, maybe, right?
Is it progeny, not prodigy?
Progeny, progeny is your prodigy. Lineage. Progeny, prodigy is like a savant, isn't it?
Yeah, like prodigy is just like, this kid, I can tell he's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes is a prodigy, but he's also Mr. Mahomes' progeny.
Hey, so, both terms apply. But
it could. They both could apply. I
mean, not all who wander are lost.
I think he was a prodigy, so, you know. But maybe he's by progeny. So maybe that's the way it should be.
Yeah, he may be. Yeah, he's a prodigy, I would say.
But my progeny.
We're talking about prestige.
Yes,
right?
I mean,
he's certainly a prodigy.
Not to name names. Prestige worldwide. That's correct.
Okay.
The best. Yeah, there you go.
That'll wrap us up before we start misusing any more words. That'll wrap us up for
the
this week's JP.
The Ombudsman has spoken. The prodigy Ombudsman.
We're dispersing. We're shutting this thing down. We will be back next week to talk some more NFL and who knows, maybe some World Series talk. We might sprinkle some more of that in. So, guys, I will catch y'all next week.
The days are already.
Two and two, Chuck. Hey, I didn't get a chance. We didn't get a chance to talk about Kevin. I was in that press conference room. Have you ever been in the press conference room at Razorback Stadium? You saw that picture. Did you see that?
Yes, I have.
Have you been in there?
I've been in there once.
Yeah. In the press conference. That was the most surreal thing I've ever been to. I mean, it's loud and stuff. And you walk into this press conference, it was like we were in a viewing room for a funeral. I mean, everybody was just quiet.
Yep.
And you're like, what's going on? Why is this? What? And Sam Pittman walks in, and the next thing you know, he's just like, I don't know. Trey, I don't know. And it was just, it was surreal. The guy was lost. You could tell. He was being true. He didn't know. He really didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's crazy. So I just thought it was an interesting experience, and I'm glad you've been there because it was a first for me. And it was not nearly what I thought was going to kind of be raucous, and they were going to be talking to each other.
No, it's real quiet. Everybody's just waiting for him to talk.
As soon as he walked in, it was like a bunch of locusts just jumped on him, and all these cell phones are dripping on the table and all stuff. It was amazing. Yeah. It was fun to watch, but surreal, very surreal.
Do we think Sam loses his job?
No, I think it's too early. Tony, what do you think?
Since he made the move to Canadiens, he may keep his job. He has got to win at least two SEC football games. I don't know how.
I think he needs to win out to save
his
job.
I don't know how he's going to do it. I was talking to somebody, and this is the rumor. I don't know. But there's a clause in the contract that if he is under 500 in the SEC, or excuse me, under 500 when he's fired, the buyout is $10 million less. And so they may want to give him a chance to do that. But the recruiting is good. The defensive recruiting, I've heard, is good.
No, that's why. That's the hesitation, is because they really haven't lost a bunch of recruits yet. No one's flipping.
Yeah. This may have been how he saved his job, is to get rid of Daniels. And I'm telling you.
I think he should have done it.
Maybe before, but we may actually go 5-7. I don't think we can win the next four. I don't. Missouri's a decent team this year.
I'm going to say, you know, about him losing his job potentially. I mean, just, I always think if you're going to fire somebody, have a plan. Playing in place, and who do we got that is better? I still like Sam Pittman. I think he deserves at least another year. There's no way I fire him, no matter what. I don't care if we lose every game. I think
probably what happens is, I think they let him hire Dan Enos, and I think now your check goes, we're going to hire the next offensive coordinator. You're a part of it, but we are going to hire the next one. And you got, but you're on the line. Like next year, your ass is on. Like you're on the hot seat.
I think KJ's gone. KJ needs to transfer. He is not the quarterback for this. If they're going to run this kind of system, and if he has only a year with a new OC, I can't tell what it is. He just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. I know we want to make him an RPO quarterback, but when I was watching it in person and we got to go down on the field and watch, he's not even reading it. If he's got an RPO, he's in it at all.
I thought Danny Nose tried to. I don't want this to sound bad. KJ needs a simple game plan. He kind of needs a point and shoot, kind of like what Mike Daniel does
with Hardy. You know?
Yeah, like he's got the talent, but he doesn't need. I think Enos is trying to make him read too much, and then he's overthinking shit, and he wasn't good. I think you kind of need first, second, okay, you take off. Like you just and I thought that's where Enos lost it is they weren't. I didn't like when Pittman in his press conference said a couple things where he's like, well, yeah, we were.